SBS Radio.
Now, my guest is Leah Cameron, talking today about her farm, Marawa Law Farm, in this time of a pandemic and how she's navigated 2020 a year like no other before. Now, Leah, welcome to NITV Radio.
Thank you for having me.
How has business been during this very tough period?
It's been quite an interesting period in that we didn't really know how we would fare to start with. Obviously, a lot of our clients were impacted straight up, but it took us a little while to feel the, I suppose, the brunt of it. It was a couple of months in before we felt it, but certainly we saw it straight up for a lot of our clients and just really how they were struggling day to day to manage the challenges in business because of it.
So your business is a legal firm, and most of you would be able to actually run a consultation over the phone, not like other businesses where you have to have a face-to-face contact or even some other way of interacting. How was the initial reaction, and how did you live the pandemic?
It was interesting because we have such a wide range of clientele. Their response was quite varied. So obviously if they're a big corporate or government, they were already set up to sort of deal with working from home and Zoom calls and all of that. But we also act for a lot of traditional owners across the country and in Indigenous business owners. And I suppose what became apparent was the digital divide, who had access to good NBN, who had good access to computers, all that sort of thing, and who was, I suppose, had a bit of digital savvy about them. I mean, I even found that I struggled with all the different, you know, methods of communication, and we really had to get up to speed quickly. The other thing we found that as lawyers working regionally and remotely, we're always pretty well set up to, you know, take our laptop anywhere and be prepared to do work. And we're prepared for the technology to fail. So we were okay to keep the business running. But as I said, we really noticed with people in regional and remote areas, it was a struggle and it remains a struggle. And it's something that really needs to be looked into and improved across the country.
One other aspect that is not to be really discounted is looking at your website. You pride yourself to have a very large number of female lawyers, and I would guess a lot of your clients would be also females. And if they have to approach you with very sensitive topics to talk about, a face-to-face contact is usually the most appropriate kind of contact to do business in that, well, if you're dealing with sensitive matters.
Sadly, when you see a lawyer, it's usually not for a good thing, and so there is a lot of emotion involved.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people do like to do business, you know, face to face.
Yeah.
It's almost like a bloodletting, I suppose, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
To get it out of the system and then obviously move forward with the issue. So look, I think it's terrific having a almost large percentage of our staff being female, because we do have a very, I suppose, different perspective to a lot of our male colleagues in how we do business. I find in particular that our lawyers, so they're not just female, they're largely Indigenous as well, we are really good listeners. And I think that comes from thousands of, you know, years of being, you know, having an oral culture and having to listen really well and communicate really well with each other. I think that really has, that's where our skill set is. And so people really value that from, you know, our female Indigenous staff. And we, you know, we hope that we challenge our colleagues to do better and really listen to their clients and try to understand what's going on in their world.
You mentioned the digital divide. Internet connection is not something that we all enjoy in the same manner. It's not a very, well, I would say, democratically spread out. How did you navigate the situation with your Indigenous businesses who are also not only having legal issues but also having to navigate this digital divide, especially those who would be in remote areas? That would be, I just can't see how you managed that.
That's the one thing about the Indigenous business community is we're really collaborative and we're there to support each other. So all of us have, you know, such a wide range of skill sets. So if someone puts out their hand for, you know, hey, I need a bit of help here, we all try and work out a solution however possible. And we all have various connections into government and whatever else. So whenever someone reaches out, and I would encourage anyone in this situation who, you know, who does need help to reach out, because we've got this huge network across the country who can try and assist. And, you know, we've been really fortunate then when an issue's presented itself, for example, in regional Queensland, with our connections being able to go to government and say, hey, we need a solution for this community. They don't have access to technology that they need to be able to do business at this time, and they are particularly vulnerable. And we can't just send people in to always assist, particularly early on. It was a real risk. So we had to really think that through and call on many Indigenous business owners to help work out that problem, and we got through it in the end.
Did you see any drop because of the pandemic, any sector that actually dropped?
It was interesting. So obviously commercial law keeps on tracking on, and sadly we saw an uptick in people wanting to obviously A, try and exit contracts, or B, try and enforce contracts because people weren't adhering to existing contracts. Debt recovery was another big uptick. But then we saw a slowdown in other areas that required face-to-face meetings. So number of native title claims, for example, across the country, there was a slowing down of processes because, you know, anthropologists couldn't get out on country to interview claimants. The courts obviously had to adapt to these new processes. We all appear by, you know, Zoom calls or similar now. There was definitely a slowing down, but we found now that things are starting to pick back up and people are getting very creative with how they need to, you know, I suppose, run a business and socially distance and make sure they're safe as well. So it's good to see that things are getting back on track again.
Were you able to retain all your staff, or because a lot of businesses had to?
We were actually very fortunate that we retained all our staff. Due to the downturn, we qualified for JobKeeper in the first stage of it, which was terrific. That was a great help. We retained all our staff. For a while there, we looked at how we might economise in terms of, you know, reducing our overheads and costs because we just didn't know what was going to happen. So we prepared for the worst case scenario, and thankfully it never came anywhere close to that. We've retained staff and we've actually been growing a little bit again, which is wonderful to see.
Wow, growing during the pandemic. That's
it.
A lot of what we hear from most businesses is just tears. People, businesses are closing, will never open again, and yours is still standing and thriving.
I think we're very fortunate. We practice in very niche areas. That means that I think we were prepared for it. I think being agile in business and not having a huge overheads if you don't need them really helps as well. But also I think, you know, being prepared for worst case scenarios if they do pop up, having a little bit of money for a rainy day if you need it. But I think the JobKeeper coming in made a big difference for a lot of businesses. But as that sort of lessens and reduces in the coming months, that's where I think more uncertainty will be created. And if more businesses close, that will impact upon everyone.
Coming back to legal matters, property and some litigations, during the pandemic, there was like, I would say, a moratorium on evictions, on claims. Some deadlines have been extended and so on. But this is soon coming to an end. Very soon, people start being evicted and those who are owed money will start, debt collectors will start knocking on the doors again.
I think the pressure's going to be on even more. This is what I fear. It was rent relief for a period of time. People called it a holiday, but the holiday is very swiftly coming to an end. People thought it might be continued. Obviously, it can't continue forever. My advice to people was, if you do have the ability to pay, keep paying something, because it is coming to an end, and then you're going to be lumped with a whole lot more, which is concerning. But if you know this is coming and you know you are going to be unable to pay those debts, I would be talking to those people that you owe money to now. Have that conversation and work out a bit of a payment plan if you can, or an extension. It's best to have that conversation up front, and then everyone knows and tries to work together. Otherwise, you're in a real pickle and the pressure is on and the stress is immense if you have to wait till the 11th hour to find out if you've got that extension.
You champion Indigenous business. What advice would you give to entrepreneurs post-pandemic from learning from your experience as a business owner and someone who's navigated the pandemic successfully?
My advice for Indigenous business owners has been, look, really, this is a time to ensure you're compliant, your business is compliant with all rules and regulations, etc., particularly COVID regulations, because this will make or break your business going forward. The other thing I've been saying is really check your contracts that are in place. If you're worried about meeting the obligations under a contract, as I said before, best to have that conversation up front. Don't leave it to the 11th hour to get yourself into a difficult situation. We were also offering and continue to offer as many Indigenous businesses as we can pro bono support during this time. So don't feel afraid to reach out. And we also have some other big top tier firms helping us in that regard, because we can't do it all.
Pro bono service, that's everyone wants something for free. So.
They do.
I've been knocking on your doors. And now, anything we haven't covered you'd like to bring to the attention of our listeners?
Just say a big shout out to the Indigenous business community. You know, when I established my business, I called on lots of friends and family, you know, for their guidance and support. And, you know, they've always been there for me. So I'd encourage other Indigenous business owners, if you're out there and feeling alone, to touch base. We're all really friendly and we'd love to help you. And as we said, like, we were very fortunate to get through this. Any opportunity I have to help, I'm happy to give that good turn back that I've received in the past. So please do get in touch. We're all here to support each other.
Hey, Leah Cameron, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.